Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is episode 71 of my podcast, Brain Dribble, where even 71 episodes in, I'm still frightened to start recording. I'm just hesitant. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm like, what if I don't have anything to say? And then I'm like, well, I'll figure it out, because we always do. We always seem to just figure it out. Everything just falls into place nice and neatly in an organized fashion. I want to start off this podcast by giving a big old shout out to my guy, Trader Joe. Joe, he trades, like he's a stock trader, and I really appreciate that about him. Trader Joe's more like Trader Hoes, because I'm a slut for Joe. Hey Joseph, you like trading Pokemon cards? I like to trade my money in exchange for your frozen meals, Joseph. Joseph Stalin, I'm a big fan. That came out wrong. Don't twist those words. I mean, they're already twisted. There's no way to recover from this. It's instant, and the instant that I start, if words decide to come out of my mouth, it's gonna be wrong. There's no putting a stop to this. There's no end in sight of all the awful things that I'm gonna say. I'm a big fan of Joseph Stalin. Really, what I meant to say is I'm a big fan of Trader Joe's. Just love trading my money in exchange for their goods and services. I like to not have to cook. And so when I can just get rice that I can microwave, I don't even have to add any water. You know how they say just add water? I don't even have to add water. I just pop those babies in the microwave, and I heat them up, and they're ready to go. And it's kind of a bastardization of Indian food, but it's food, and it's, you know, it's pretty good. I think it's rather healthy in the grand scheme of things. If I were to, I could be getting Wendy's every day, but I'm not. So really what I'm trying to say is Joseph, Trader Joseph, I'm a slut for you. I'm a fucking whore for Trader Joe's. I go in there and I'm just like, fuck me up. Yeah, take away my paycheck. Just drain, milk me dry. Just drain me. Drain my wallet of all of its. You know, Trader Joe's is like a really like hot girl that you just want to spend all your money on. I go to Trader Joe's and I'm like, is there a thing in here that I shouldn't buy? And the answer is no. I should buy everything. I buy out the entire store every time I go in. And it's a very long, arduous process that requires multiple car trucks to fill up all of it. And then I don't even have enough space in my freezer for all that frozen food. But I'll tell you one thing. I love it. Love Trader Joe's. This is the whole note was I'm a Trader Joe, more like Trader Hoes, because I'm a slut for Joseph. Hey, Trader Joseph, Joey, what's up, my man? Joey, I want to stuff all my money into your pants. And you just stuff all the frozen food into my face then? Is that what we want to do? I guess so. I'm a hoe for you, Joseph. I think the goal of life is to minimize getting ready. You know, there's nothing I hate more than preparing to just get ready and just ooh, when you were a kid and you'd have to put on all your winter clothes just to go outside in the winter, and you just like spend like 40 minutes just making sure everything's nice and sealed shut so that no snow will get through. And you just got to make sure all your, because you wear pants and then you put snow pants over that, and then your pants like ride up a little bit because that's how the friction works. And then you have to spend another like 30 minutes just like pulling your pants back down to make it straight, because you don't want to be outside with all like folds in your fucking pants. Fuck that, dude. That was the worst, and I hate the feeling of just like spending time getting ready. When I was a kid, I was like, oh, I gotta, you gotta prepare to go outside in the winter when it's snowy out. Nowadays, I don't even, I say fuck winter clothes. I just wear big, I just wear like two pairs of pants and a big coat. And there's no getting ready involved. You just like put your, the goal of life in my experience is to minimize that getting ready phase of before you do something, you have to get ready to do it. If I could minimize that, I would be a happy boy. 'Cause I roll out of bed 10 minutes before at work, and I just get dressed, I take a shit, and I go. Like, I don't, getting ready is a very, I skip that step in the process. If people spend like 30 minutes just preparing, for the day, just getting all clean and nice and clean and whatever. But I think the whole goal of life is to just not, to streamline your life, to just put on some clothes and then go, and then go. And then while you're going, it's important that you don't stop, because the moment that you sit down, you will give up. You gotta ride that wave while it's going. Once you have momentum, it's, if you want to get anything done, at least in my experience, you have to do it all in one go. You can't, like, once you sit down after work, if you sit down after work, you give up. You, that's your day, is your day's done. Your day's done. You gave up. You sat down. Instead, you gotta like keep going. The moment that you get home, you don't shower because you're not done yet. So like what I do when I get home usually is just switch shoes, switch into my regular shoes, and then I go back out. I don't stay home, because if I'm at home, then I'm relaxing. And usually that's at the end of the day, and then your day's over. So you need to, my whole goal in life is to minimize getting ready and to be doing for most of the day. And then once I'm at home, I just relax and I can chill out for a little bit, because there's nothing worse than sitting and not feeling like doing something. But the moment that you took to rest, to sit down, that was your mistake. You shouldn't have sat down. And so really what I'm saying is, stand forever. Just keep standing. Don't ever stop. Stand until it fucking hurts. Don't sit until your legs are broken, because then you should probably sit. Something that I've noticed that society teaches is that success in traditional state, like traditional success, is having a lot of money. And having a lot of money means that you think there's some sort of pride attached to the success that you have, that people who don't have the success look at you like you're a fucking asshole. Because people, like to flaunt their money, and they just make money, and then they're like, yeah, I can have all these things, and you think you're better for it, but you're not. And that's something that people who aren't successful, and they, I feel like now with all the celebrities that have ever like been, you know, rose to fame, and then their life went off the rails because of money and drugs and whatever, there's like enough anecdotes to decide that, oh, maybe I don't really want that. Maybe it's just, it's not like the goal. Maybe the goal isn't fame. And then you can start to feel like better. It's like the superiority thing. Like people who are in it and conditioned to think that this is traditional success, what this is, they feel pride for having succeeded. And people who haven't look at them like they're assholes because they think that they're better for having the thing. But meanwhile, they're sitting there thinking, oh, they need that to be happy. I don't. And then they think they're better because they don't need the thing. And there's still this power dynamic of like thinking that you're better. There will forever be this resentment of luxury until you have it. For some reason, you believe it makes them think that they're better than you. And the people who make the sacrifice for it are just disconnected and become sad because it's supposed to be the thing, but it's useless. The only thing money gives you is anxiety and trust issues. And pride becomes denial at that point because they'll try and convince themselves they've done it and they're flexing. But the hardest flexors are the saddest of them all. And it takes 2.2 seconds to feel like you're superior because you don't have to do that, which makes you feel disconnected all the same. Either way, you're living out somebody else's idea of success. I don't really know where else to go with that thought, but that was a thought that I had. So if you didn't ever think about that, I don't know if that makes sense. I feel like I'm not saying it in the best way. I think the goal, and Kendrick Lamar's album that just came out is really delves into this topic of just healing and collective trauma that we kind of all have now after COVID. Everyone's kind of just like trying to heal however they can, because it's just a daunting realization that life is finite, and people are just having existential crises. It seems like a lot of people are having these existential crises, and it's just hard to watch. A lot like the just collective, the groupthink is now just like trying to heal, because we're all so hurt for one reason or another. For like the traditional ideas of what a man is supposed to be. This is definitely something that I've struggled with a lot in my life, is just the overarching, like, I think some of it is even like evolutionary, because up until very recently, there's a quote from a Kendrick, like one of the songs on the album from Kendrick Lamar that says, being sensitive never did, never helped. Being sensitive never helped. And I feel like that's an evolutionary trait that is no one's fault, because men used to have to be the breadwinners. They still kind of are, but there's that nature like hardwired into our DNA to be a certain way. But in the modern world, it doesn't really make sense. And overcoming the emotional barrier overcoming whatever anxiety it requires for you to be open and honest and vulnerable as a man is something that I've thought about a fuck ton. And the fact that I still do this is proof that I'm improving, I suppose, because you could just stop out of fear. At least I'm not doing things out of fear. that I'll be judged. I don't give a fuck what anyone else thinks at this point. I'm 71 episodes in. It's just like, yeah, that's that dude who, whatever, you know? That's the dude who sits alone in his room and talks. And it's fine. It's just something that I've definitely taken into. It seems to be like every big work of art that comes out lately has just been dwelling on the similar things that I'm thinking about, like on the regular, like just this dynamic of being vulnerable and like. Oh man, it's easy to get caught up in the game, the rat race, whatever this is, and forget that you're gonna die one day. And I feel like there's the tide is kind of turning in a sense where now we all kind of understand that everybody has shit, you know, everybody's got their own things to deal with. And we're all just people. And something that I really liked on one of the songs, Auntie Diaries, the use of the F slur, as it were, which is, I think, is kind of funny that you say the F slur instead of the F word, because the F word is already taken. There's two F words, so they just call it the F slur. And I don't know why, but that phrase, the F slur, is just so silly. Because I can relate to Kendrick in that when I was growing up, the F slur was not as big of a deal as it is now. Like, obviously, the reason that it's a big deal now is because we've accepted the fact that is a word that is used to degrade a certain group of people, similar to the N word, and he relates it to that. And it's, I guess, what I'm trying to say is that when I was growing up, I was taught that you know, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. So this whole culture shift where people started being offended by that word, and then suddenly that word became like an absolute no-go. It just, I felt like a little left behind. I don't know if it was because I'm straight or because it's just the culture. But I think healing or change requires healing. So until we want to start reclaiming these words that have been used to hurt people, is going to continue to be offensive to those people until we've collectively healed. Does that make sense? Like he referenced the time on stage when he brought a white girl up and she said the N-word in a song, and he stopped the whole show and made it a you know, some people could argue, and it starts this whole conversation is like, is that bad? And it's, I think Kendrick admits at multiple points, and it's just being super vulnerable on this album, that this is a point of pain, clearly, that requires healing in order to change. And in order to prove the point, he uses the F slur, and which people, I don't know what I'm even fucking talking about. What's the point of me talking about this? It just seems like there's this cultural conversation happening where everybody's kind of on the same page, but no one really wants to say these things. No one wants to like be controversial because they're all scared to say the wrong thing. And when someone does say the wrong thing, they try to fucking crucify them for it. But the thing is, and it's important not to forget, whether or not he's real, I don't believe in, I'm not a religious person, but they crucified Jesus, which is really just metaphorical in the sense that this is just the way people react to what is on a higher plane of thinking. To think that, oh, well, if we reclaim these words, then we can all get along. But like, we're not there yet because these words still have a lot of bite. And I think many people will not hesitate to tell you that they are not mentally well. And it just emphasizes this fact that we need cultural, some kind of healing in order to move forward and not be offended and to just have, like, because at some point, innocent until proven guilty kind of went out the window. There's just a set of rules that certain people abide by, and if you don't follow those rules, you're just a bad person. And I think it feels like people are kind of coming to terms with the fact that it is limiting, that saying that this is the way you have to be is makes it exclusive. You know, it's an ideology that people subscribe to act a certain way. And this is the way that it should be. And if you're not with it, you need to get out. But being so harsh about it, I think people are kind of waking up and realizing that it's rooted in a lot of mental health issues and a lot of hatred too. Because I'm not the first person to talk about this. Obviously, we're talking about cancel culture, whatever. But to say that you accept everyone, but then you can't accept the people who don't because you're saying you need to accept everyone. And here are a group of people that don't accept a certain group of people, but you not accepting them is not accepting. So you can either, if you gotta accept, and just, that's it, period. And until we get to that point, culturally, these words will be off limits. And we're clearly not there yet. And I don't think we're really, I think it's going to take a lot to change this idea that people have it out for you, dude. I don't know about you. I think maybe it's a symptom of being inside for 2 years, that when your world becomes a little smaller, and everything on the internet is outrage, and you take things really personally, but it's people are losing their edge. People are just being very, there's just a softness. And I think people need to remember that. People need to remember to give people the benefit of the doubt, to remember that people are human. It's very easy to dehumanize people on the internet. We know that. It's just a recipe for disaster. Being inside for 2+ years, right? Most people. This is the general way things have been for most people. Being inside, isolated for the past 2 years or so. Using social media and the way it gets out of hand with thinking everything is the end of the world, the financial incentive to get you to think that everything's the end of the world and to keep you angry. And so just there's just that psychology of they're getting you, you know? Happiness is not as clickbait worthy as outrage, and that's just the financial incentive to be like, yeah, what happened to this week, right? And then we're all talking about this thing that we hate or whatever. So it's a combination of people's worlds becoming very small because they're just alone, and the way social media makes things seem like everything's the end of the world, where if you look outside, it's fucking, it's just a day. It's just a day. You know, you are not seeing the, and people, and then it's a guilt trip to get you to care because there are terrible things, but there are terrible things that are always going to be happening. It's never going to stop. there's just always going to be terrible things happening. And you can either read about it and just know it all and just think the life is the worst because you just know about all the worst things. Or you can like put it like I forgot people were like this because I put it away. I put it away. It's not healthy for me. It was the summer of 2020, you know the one. And just every day, it was the worst. Like, I thought we were living in hell. But at some point, I snapped and I said, I cannot, I have to put this away. I'm sorry. I know it's not the morally sacred thing to do at the moment. But God damn, dude, when you put it away and you stop thinking about it, I don't know what's going on in the news. I don't know the latest TikTok trend. I don't know. I don't know what people are talking about. And it makes my world so much, oh my God, it's so much better. I can focus on things that actually matter to me. I can find joy. To not have that self-awareness, to be like, at some point you gotta care for yourself, right? Because you spend all this time. All right, it's just a bird, whatever. It's nature. Are you mad at nature? Sorry, the outside exists. At some point, you have to start acting for your own happiness, because that's the moral superiority to caring about everything, is that you care and you care for these people. But like, you're not really doing anything. You just care. And that's great. But unless you're actually changing things, caring isn't really gonna do anything. So at some point you have to stop caring for other people as much and reallocate some care and put it into yourself. Because when you care all about all these other people, these groups, these people who are so oppressed, the hierarchy of things, you know, who's on the bottom, we gotta root for the little guy, whatever. Playing that game is just, at some point, it just becomes neglecting yourself. Because it's in that mindset of victimhood, who it's like, my friend would do this thing where anytime I'd come to him with a problem that I was having, he'd say it was bullshit and that his problems were worse. And I refer to it as negative one-upping. So you can't just have something bad happen to you. There's always somebody with something worse. And that's true. But doing it to yourself is writing off your own things. You know, this is making you feel some type of way. And you are not doing anything about it because black trans people are being killed. And that's more important. But to you, assuming you're not black or trans or whatever, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. When you care for yourself, the world becomes a lot nicer. The world becomes a lot more of a loving place. And I think there's some, Andrew Schultz was talking about on a podcast of his recently, where it's like, you want to make art about pain. And when your pain is, for rap music, it's oftentimes drugs, violence, and just, you know, weapons. And it keeps these things, you're writing about it because it's real. But it keeps it in the zeitgeist and it never changes. And so people start coming in and thinking, ooh, this is cool. It's like, no, This is not cool. We need to remember this is not cool. We don't like this. And then that's why it's so offensive when these white rappers come in talking about all their fucking guns and shit. Because it's like, no, if you've been traumatized, you don't wish it upon anyone. So like the people saw the success that art that came from pain made and said, oh, I'm hurt too. Feel bad for me. And like they just took it in a weird different angle where they're like, oh, they're, it's kind of the joke that I was making on the I Quit episode where I was like, I haven't had a bad enough life in order to have that contrast where my highs will be super high because my lows were super low. I'll be this talented individual who can make beautiful art from his pain. People think that if their lives are bad, that they'll be better at art or whatever. And it just kind of keeps this idea in this atmosphere that it's the outsider's perspective on music that revolves around drugs and violence and gangs and, you know, all this shit. The outsider's perspective is like, oh, so you think you're cool because of that? It's like, no, this is just real life, you know? And it keeps it in the zeitgeist. It keeps it in the conversation, and it keeps those racist people having their confirmation bias. They're like, ah, see, that's all they do. And it just perpetuates this cycle where if we want change, we need to remember that these are bad things. We don't want this. Don't we want to heal? Why are you going on TikTok again talking about your fucking mental illness? No one wants to know about the fact that you couldn't get out of bed this morning. You should want to be better. But people are still in this phase where they think that getting that negative one up is what will send them. That's not how it works. And you just have a population of people who just feel bad for themselves. And I don't know what to do about it. That's something that it feels like art is trying to tell people, and people just can't get it. Because I feel like I'm on the outside of it. I am on the outside of it. I put it away. I don't have social media on my phone. I don't look at Twitter in the elevator. I don't go on Instagram. The only thing I do sometimes on my phone is check how many followers I have on TikTok, because it keeps going up and I appreciate all of you. I don't use social media like that. And I haven't for a long time because I hate to beat this fucking dead horse, but like, dude, get off of it. Get off. Because these problems will become a lot more, your problems in life will become a lot more present and relatable to you. If you have these conversations all day, every day, there's two sides of it. There's the people who do this and they still think in this victim way, and they have these existential like questions, like they feel like the weight of the world is on them and they have to change it. They have to be an influencer and to use their voice for good or whatever. Having all that like guilt and pressure on you. There's that. And then there's the people who gave that up, like me, who tell you to give it up. It's just two sides of the same coin. It's like, dude, stop trying. Stop trying to do that thing. Because it's just not going to work. You can't solve world hunger. And not that you shouldn't try, but you know, just think about what kind of, it's impossible for you. I'm going to just say it. It's impossible for you to solve world hunger. You will never do it. Try. And you know how I know? Try. It is an overwhelming task. And I think a lot of people would benefit from just giving that shit up. These like you're the savior. You're gonna come in and just fix everything. Fix yourself. Focus on yourself. And this is something that really just stuck with me from Kendrick's new album. It's this collective idea that we won't be better until we choose ourselves. We give ourselves the time of day to heal from whatever it is that we are neglecting. Because you neglect it. And it sucks, and it gets worse, and you ain't felt shit until you felt it sober. You need to deal with these fucking emotions, bro. Instead of giving in to the victim, people just want to, you know what? And at some point, I'm sure I'll get to. I have been there. I haven't been beating the drum as much, besides this episode. But Kendrick's album just got me thinking. So I just think it's really important to get off social media because it's not real. It whether this they say yeah it is because it's how the people make the is it how you make your income? Because the reality is most of the work that goes into content creation is not on social media. You gotta step away and have your own fucking like thoughts, dude. Yeah, I'm sure I'll get to a point where I don't ha I feel like I have to say it anymore because I'm not trying to force my lifestyle on anyone. But I can say it has objectively improved my life. And I don't really, that's, I just needed to get that off my chest. That was a really long-winded way, and I don't know if I barely finish sentences, and that's fine. Because who needs a fucking period anyway? Periods suck, right? Right, ladies? You know, I just it's just one long run-on sentence. And the words that I use to fill in the gaps are because and and. You just add information, just keep going, just keep spilling. And because. If you ever notice that with the way I speak, that's what I do. If I run out of words, I don't end the sentence, I say because, and I have to figure out why. And that's the secret. I just did it right there. And that's the secret to never running out of things to say, I guess. Ironic that right now I would run out of things to say, but you know what I mean. But is another one. Just anything that could combine just anything that can combine two sentences and just make it not end a never ending, I was gonna say never ending period, but that's not. Let's try and be funny for a little bit, shall we? I don't know how to use Snapchat as much anymore after the update because I didn't update Snapchat for about 5 years, and then it finally forced me to. And so I don't really know where some things are, but I keep getting re-added. I keep getting added by these fucking fake accounts, and I don't really know how to check people's Snap score anymore. So I just go in to see like our combined score, where it says Snap Heroes or whatever the fuck. And it's always half of mine, so I'm like, yeah, this is there's it's zero, so it's zero. I don't know what they want. What do they want? It's always girls. That's why I add them, right? To check and make sure. Are you real? What if this is the love of my life? Stupid. I'm a primate. A random girl whose name doesn't even match the name on Snapchat with a string of numbers after their name adds me on Snapchat, and I think, ooh, is today the day? Will I finally have found the one? I'm a fucking ape. I'm a stupid, dumb male. I'm just dumb. And this is proof. The fact that I add these people back is just like, really, dude? You think that somebody's just gonna find you? I don't know what I expect. And I don't know what I expect. Like, fucking so stupid. But I do it anyway because I'm desperate. Because I would get to know someone like that. Okay? I would just randomly add somebody and just start talking to them. And then if they're not attractive, just stop talking to them. But I would just randomly add somebody on Snapchat and just like try and meet someone that way. That might work. You don't know. It could. You don't know. You don't know. You haven't tried it. But one of these days, it's like I have been doing it. I never did it, but like I've been doing this for a while, and trust me, one day I'll find the one. Okay, dude. You report back when you found the one by adding random Snapchats. That's something that is weird now, is especially if you would try to meet somebody that way, you'd probably be adding a lot of minors because you don't know who these people are. And if you just try and go for everyone, they're going to be like, what if they're like a child, you know? And I'm just thinking, man, what if I like go up to somebody in public and get it so wrong? Because there are, I swear to God, dude, there are some people who could either be 15 or 25. Like, it's just anywhere in between there, and you can't tell. Because I didn't have a beard when I was 15, but some people do. Some fucking kid with a beard. I thought he was probably like 20. He was 15. And I was just like, what? That's crazy. Kids, they just keep on looking old. I don't know how old I look. Do I look 50? Because somebody called me an impractical joker, and I get referred to as a dad pretty often in the grand scheme of things. I always get compared to old. Do I look old? And if I do look old, how old will I look when I am? God, I got so much anxiety and just pressure on my shoulders all the time that I'm aging twice as fast as regular people. And that's just the way it is. I'm aging super duper fast. People mistake me for a 50. Somebody commented. They thought I was 40. And I had to, it was on my video where I was like, talking about getting a real job, and someone commented, you have no job, you're 40 and you're single. And I had to like respond to them and be like, I'm 23, I have a job, and I have a very loving and supporting group of friends. So I don't, you know, sure, I'm single, you got me there, but like, doesn't mean I don't have people, you know. And why am I incomplete without a partner? That's why they call it their other half. Yeah, here's your half. I don't want to be half a person. If you look in the mirror, do you see only a torso? Why are you looking for your other half? You have a whole body. It's just looking for love as the thing to complete you is illogical inherently because you're a whole person. You're all of it, and you're sitting there like, I'm only half. No, you're a whole person. Yes, you are. What? Do you think you need to be two people? Here's the problem, dude. You'll never be two people. Doesn't matter how hard you try or how much you think you know someone. You're never gonna be them. Like, my better half, and it's always the better half. Why are you the worst half? You're just putting yourself down. It's like, I need to go out and find someone better than me. Really? Oh, I need to go find someone better than me who could just fix me up, you know? Fucking absolutely not. This is horrible advice from just phrases. Terrible. My better half. Why is it? Are you not good? Why are you a bad half? If you're the bad half, wouldn't you say that's probably less than half? This is my other 75%. It's like, what, are you only knees down? Where is 75% of you? It's in them? So your life is filled with so much nothing that when you get with someone, they're not only your better half, but there's so much better of a half that they take up 75% instead. I'm getting a little abstract here. Point is, dude, searching for your better half is inherently fucking dumb. Because you have, I mean, you maybe you already have, you need to find which, my right hand is my better half. I'm a righty. So that's my better half. Like, what? I think my upper body's stronger than my lower body. So that's my better half. Oh, like, why is your better half a separate person, dude? I swear to God. You could be trying your entire fucking life. And, you know, maybe you'll be the guy to figure out how to do it. Maybe you'll be the first person. You'll prove me wrong. See, I can become two people. Fine, man. Maybe your mind is so powerful that you can take up two bodies. But I can't. So I'm gonna stop trying. And I'm going to accept me as a whole person. And then I'll be two people. Instead of trying to be two people, I will be a collective two people because you're only half. So you're looking for the better half, which is only one, but I'm going to be two. You know what I'm saying? You're picking up what I'm putting down. I don't know. I like to, you know, I was never, when I was a kid, I never, like, just growing up until very recently, until I had a reason to put something, to wear something, I've never been a person to be like, I gotta wear a bunch of shit. I just had like a shirt, pants, and shoes, and socks, you know, that's the basic four things, and underwear, the basic five things. Articles of clothing. I was never like a wristband kind of guy. I was never like a earring or a tattoo even. But I like to wear a hair tie because it's mysterious. Like, ooh, he could have his hair up right now. Like, what would he look like with his hair up? Because with it down, it's so bad. But if you put it up, I like to wear two hair ties so that people think, oh my God, does he do pigtails? Could he do pigtails? And how awesome would that look? Super duper cool, dude. I look great with some pigtails, I'll tell you that much. It's like I can just grab my hair so much better from the side because my hair in the front is too short and it doesn't go far enough back. The ponytail's got to be really high. And otherwise that I can't grab it all. And then even when I do, it just comes out and it just is dainty. My hair is dead. It looks dead. And it's not. That's literally just the way it's always looked. Because when it was shorter, it would poof up if it's humid. And it's always fucking humid on the East Coast. Hey, go to the East Coast if you want humidity. You know? Just all the East Coast. West Coast, though, is nice and dry. So I think I gotta go there because there my hair will be good. But in the humidity, my hair poofs up. Oh boy. You gotta fucking tame this thing. So you got dead split ends. Yeah, a little bit, but my hair also just does look dead. And like you need to get a haircut because it'll grow back faster if you get it. It's like, no, it won't. They just want you to get a haircut. Think about it. Why would your hair grow faster if you didn't have split ends? It's at the end of your hair. We are talking about the scalp part, which is, by the way, you ever think about how your hair is always constantly sliding slowly? This used to be my opener on Tinder. Do you ever think about how hair and nails are constantly sliding slowly? I actually looked up how the length hair and nails grow in a month, and I figured out the speed at which how your hair and nails get longer. And this is the type of thing that you will start thinking about when you stop thinking about all of the shit on social media. The important stuff, like how fast do hair and nails grow per hour? Right? You know, it's like, oh, my hair grows. For me, it's about 3 inches a year. My hair grows really fucking slow. No, I think it's, yeah, 4 inches a year, but it's really, really slow. And I wanted to know how fast that would go per hour. If I ever got a Netflix special for my comedy, because they seem to be handing them out everywhere you go. You see David Spade. New special from David Spade. That shit was so fucking boring. He ran out of things to say and was starting to just tell movie Hollywood stories 11 minutes in. So, I don't know. But if I were ever to get mine, because it's kind of realistic now to have a special, because if you can't get one, you can just make your own. I'd be sure to call it Tyler Damsma is special. Tyler Damsma's with the apostrophe S special. So it's like it's his, but it's also he is special. Because I'm special. Special? Special. Sure. Fine. I always fuck up like just talking. Everything that I say, I gotta say it a second time because I fucked up a word. And I think it used to just be my sense of humor. It's just like I can't even get it out. But I'm starting to think it's actually just the fucking speech impediment that I have. Because my brain can think fast enough. I just have to be on, like, I just have to drink a coffee or something. I just need to be energized. Something's gotta get pump be pumping through. Some kind of drug has to be coursing through my veins in order to get me to say full sentences. otherwise it takes a lot, and either that or my voice cracks because I just don't know how to be serious. I don't know how to like feel like if I had to give a speech and figure, like, I mean, I could memorize a speech. I got 100 in one of my speech classes for a speech that I did because, I don't know. I actually cared and I wanted to get over this fear of mine. I have this fear of public speaking. It's very not, no one has it usually, the fear of public, no one's scared of that. And so for me it was really interesting to try and get over this thing that no one has ever dealt with. You know, it's so stupid to be sitting there like, what, no one worries about that but me. I do. So it's good to get over, to have gotten over that fear. But like everything, it resets with time, so I probably have to get over it again. But I would like to start. I'm gonna start going to open mics again, because I did that 5 times, and it was bad. Oh boy, if I could just get comfortable on, I was so bad that I couldn't even be comfortable on stage to say anything funny. Not that I couldn't be funny, it's just that I didn't have a natural, like, I was just reading a script that I prepared, and it was not, like, there were barely, I feel like my joke placement is a little off kilter. I think sometimes the joke is that I just say something that, like, who says it like that? I can't even give you an example because I'm just too dumb. I feel like a lot of what I do is talk about talking, and then I talk about talking about talking. So that's a new layer. We unlocked a new layer, guys. I just talk about talking and talk about talking while talking about talking. And I'm talking and I'm just talking. Same old me, just talking. J.R.R. talking. George R.R. Martin. I went to Bahama Breeze. And it wasn't even fucking windy, dude. I went on a Tinder date to Bahama Breeze. We were gonna go to Olive Garden because I thought that would be hilarious. To go to Olive Garden as a first date, that's genius. That only, it's not shitty, it's funny because it's shitty. And so it's just funny. Because who wants to take anything seriously? Let's go to some place that I've been to twice in my life, and I got pizza because it's Italian food, so they have pizza, obviously. I told somebody that I got pizza from Olive Garden. They're like, why would you get pizza? I'm like, because it's Italian food. So I got their fucking pizza, and it tasted like someone puked on it. Just straight up. Tasted like stomach acid. I was just getting, you know, you think about it, the color is kind of the same, a puke and you know, like a margarita pizza when some of the cheese blends in with the tomato, it could get a light red and kind of mixing it with some crust, it kind of looks like puke, and it tasted like puke, and it was puke, it smelled like puke. I think somebody puked in my food. I mean, I don't know why anyone would do that. I'm a great person to be around, especially when I'm hollering and hooting and barking at them. I'm telling them, hey, give me a new drink. This one has a fucking hair in it. Hairs are... Nah, I did find a hair in a drink one time. I was going to say hairs are never in drinks. You ever see that? There's never a hair in a drink. But one time it was this... coarse squiggly black hair, ew, closed on a coffee lid, and I drank it anyway. Didn't even pull it out. No, that was definitely gross. And it was more disgusting because it was black, because it just made me think pubes. Nothing racial there. It wouldn't be as gross if it was a blonde hair, because I mean, someone's definitely got blonde pubes. Blonde pubes. Is that the title of the episode? There's somebody out there. Yeah, I'm glad that I'm not that white. I'm glad that I have some like Sicilian, like Southern Italian in me, that I tan pretty good. I'm not that, I don't have to wear sunscreen. I'm not that white, but I don't know. I don't know where I was going to go with that. I'm glad I'm not paler. I see the possession of melanin to be a good thing. And I want to be darker. I don't want to be those fucking pale ass bitches. Fuck that. I don't want the sun to hurt me. Oh, you don't walk outside. You might get hurt. Like what? It's just outside. Oh, white people we're such pussies. You walk outside. I mean, to be fair, it's only works that way because my arms are exposed to the sun. So as it gets warmer, my tan goes up. But I got a nice tan line, dude. I'm pretty white. Like if I went outside and didn't have a shirt on, I'd get sunburned because it's too sudden, you know? If you have a tan line like this and it's already, it's too late. Man, white people, sucks to be me. It's so hard to be white. Imagine walking outside and the sun hurts you. Oh, I can't go outside today. It's very bright. Oh, it's such a beautiful day. Yeah, gotta be inside. Can't, it'll hurt. Can you get a melanin transfusion? Would that be cultural appropriation? I want to be darker, but I don't want to not, you know, you can't do blackface. I'm going to try and like change my DNA to like make my skin darker, but like it's like the steroids version of it. You know, you don't go through any surgery to physically like change your skin. You change the DNA so that your body starts making darker. I want my body to naturally produce darker skin. I want to be black. I mean, I do, dude. Hey, no one taught me this. This is before any conditioning. All right. When I watched, you liked basketball as a kid. I have a fucking Lakers blanket that I use. I saw the people playing basketball. I was like, man, I wish I was black. So, you know, maybe that's still there. It's like their head, they're so shiny. They glisten. Their sweat. There's more contrast between the light bouncing off the sweat on their face as opposed to a white person, that they look shinier. So I'd say they're shiny. And I wanted to be black because I liked basketball. I just noticed that the majority of people, I'm like, I thought, you know, that's just what a kid thinks. It's like, well, I guess you have to be black to play. God. Alrighty, I think that's about all I got in the tank for this evening. Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been episode 71 of my podcast, Brain Dribble. If you enjoyed, please feel free to tell somebody about it who you think might also enjoy it, because that's what spreading love is all about. And if you haven't rated the podcast, then do that. Rate it on Apple, iTunes Store, podcasts, whatever the fuck it is. I don't know. They have so many different apps for the same shit. Is it on Apple Music? Is it on Apple Podcasts? Is it on iTunes? I don't know. It's just there. It's somewhere. Rate it somewhere, the podcast. And I'll see you next time. Bye.